Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, hello, Brooklyn. Malika Andrews is live with Nets head coach Steve Nash as training camp is officially underway. Plus, is the sun setting in Phoenix? Who wrote that? We dive into how DeAndre Ayton feels about being back in the Valley. Do not miss that. And it would not be a show if we didn't talk about the Lakers. Is this the season they restore themselves to glory in LA? NBA Today starts right now. What's good, everybody? Welcome to NBA Today. I'm your girl, Chinee Ogwumike, holding it down in L.A. because Malika Andrews is on the scene in Brooklyn at Brooklyn Nets training camp. What's up, sis? How you doing?
Hey, queen. How are you?
I'm good. I know when you're in New Orleans, you had a po' boy. I hope you're finding good food in Brooklyn. Just, I hope you are.
That's what I'm going to be doing right after this, Chinee, and an iced coffee. That is high on my list.
Fantastic. Now, Malika, you were at practice before joining our show. What was your biggest takeaway from being there?
Chinee, I would have to say that my biggest takeaway was Ben Simmons' health. We were able to chat with him for a couple of minutes after he finished shooting some free throws, and he said that he feels 100% healthy. He told me that his body is his priority this year. He's changed some things about the way he warms up, his training routine. He's getting massage therapy every single day, and he said that he feels like if Steve Nash were to call on him to play normal minutes, even though he has been out for so long, he could absolutely do that, including playing the five, which is something he said he did a little bit of in Philadelphia, but they could ask him to do a little bit more of here in Brooklyn. But I couldn't be in Brooklyn, Chinee, and not look at Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and their dynamic. They were over in the corner shooting together, getting some shots up, chatting with general manager Sean Marks. And I asked Steve Nash in our one-on-one conversation where their relationship stands now. I want to quote you directly on Media Day here, on Monday's Media Day, when you talked about Kevin Durant. You said, families have issues, we had a moment, and it's behind us. And obviously that's in reference to the reports over the summer that Kevin Durant didn't want to come back as long as you and the general manager remained here in Brooklyn. What does moving past that look like?
Well, we've moved past it. You know, I mean, we have a history. You know, even when the report was out there, I never felt like it was black and white. We hadn't spoken. So these things happen. They've happened many times in our league. People have gotten past it many times as well. And now we move forward and we're excited. And Kevin's been, exceptional, not only in open gym, but in training camp, the way he's brought his energy, his focus, and his attitude, I think has really rubbed off on the rest of the guys.
Was there a specific conversation that you two had to have in order for that to happen?
We just had to talk, We talked. I heard him out. He heard me out. We cleared the air. And that was it. It wasn't even that long a conversation. You know, I think we were able to address the way we were feeling, the space we were in. I think the bottom line is we were all hurt. We've gone through so much adversity. And we had high expectations. And then we continually having players getting taken off the table and always suboptimal for our playoff chances. And I think it wore us down. And I think everyone in the organization felt it. It manifested itself the way it did. And we've gotten over it.
Someone who is new to this group, even though he joined the team last year, we haven't been able to see him on the floor, is Ben Simmons. And when we were just talking to Ben a couple of minutes ago, he said that he could envision himself playing at center quite a bit for Brooklyn. Is that what you envision? What do you see his role has?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the point guard, but he can be the center defensively for us as well. He can also, be a great screener, can play out of the short role. So Ben's so versatile, he's going to be he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. He's going to make plays for his teammates, but there's definitely lineups where he's at the five defensively.
Off the court, Kyrie Irving, what do you need to see from him as a teammate to know that he is committed to helping this team with their ultimate goal of winning a championship?
Just stay focused on what he does. He's been great. I mean, I think he's had another good summer. I think he's come to open gym here in September and been on point. I think his first 2 days in training camp, he's been exemplary in his attitude and effort. So just making sure we get on the same page, we stay on the same page, and we persevere.
Lastly, Steve, winning a championship has been this team's ultimate goal since you got here, since before you even got to Brooklyn. I imagine some of the hurt that you were talking about with Kevin Durant was not living up to those expectations. What needs to be done to fulfill that goal?
Well, the first thing is you got to be healthy. You know, the healthy team wins every year, basically. But you also got to make your own luck. So for us, it's just persevering. You know, we've had 2 seasons full of adversity. We have to accept that. We can't let that get us down. We can't let that, make us scared or afraid. We have to stay together and stick with it and show that we have the resolve to weather that. It's going to be difficult. So we have to just put that behind us, continue to have the confidence and perseverance and do that together.
Steve, thank you. Chinay, the best way that I can describe what I am seeing and feeling in Brooklyn right now is just an easiness. It feels like folks are relaxed, folks are laughing, folks are chatting with each other and talking with people in the front office, talking with the coaching staff. It's clear that they almost feel a sense of relief. They're not opening up as the Vegas number one odds to win this season. They're taking some of the expectations away so that perhaps this can finally be the year they stay healthy number one and get over the hump that has plagued them the last couple of years.
Thanks so much, Malika. Keep doing your thing out there in Brooklyn, and I will try my best to keep this train on the tracks. You feel me? Okay? Let's keep this thing going. ESPN senior reporter Ramona Shelburne is here with me in studio, my Stanford sister. And you know who it is. Perk, get off your phone. It's live. It's time. Come on, Perk. We've got Kendrick Perkins in the building. Let's stay with Brooklyn, okay?
I'm not on my phone.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure we're all here and ready, and I love my guy in H-Town. Let's stay with Brooklyn. All signs are really pointing to a healthy Ben Simmons, which is what Malika just said. Perk, if that is indeed the case, you know, what is the best role for Ben Simmons on this team?
Well, I think Steve Nash described it. I mean, when you talk about Ben Simmons being at his best, he's a guy that actually needs the ball in his hands. He's best at being a playmaker. So on the offensive end, he has so many offensive weapons, and now he's playing in the open court and he's playing in space where he's able to be the best version of himself. Defensively, you're looking at one of the best defensive players in the league. A guy that's 6'10", real versatile, could guard 1-5, and could play the center position. So it's multiple ways that you could utilize Ben Simmons when it comes down to this Brooklyn Nets offense and defense. So Steve Nash actually got, you know, he could get into his bag, something that we haven't seen before, not with him being the head coach. He can actually dive into his bag because he has a versatile player in Ben Simmons, along with the other offensive weapons in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
You're right. I think making sure you're able to play on both sides is very important, offense and defense. Ramona, how do you see Ben Simmons being utilized in Brooklyn?
Well, listen, Ben Simmons is a brilliant defensive player, and the fact that he's showing a willingness to play at the center position gives Steve Nash so many options. And when you think about how Steve Nash wants to play, I don't know that we've seen the Nets able to take on that character that Steve Nash played when he was a player for the Phoenix Suns for so much of his career. I don't think we've been able to see him put his stamp on this offense because he simply hasn't had that personnel. There were moments of it when James Harden was there, but Ben Simmons is an incredible person to have in that role, in that point guard role, especially if they can get out and play in transition. So, you know, the fact that he has this willingness to play at the five, that is telling me a lot, because up until this has always been brought up with Ben. Is he a point guard? Can he be a four or five? The fact that he just willingly is saying that is huge.
I think the word we heard today was like point center, be able to initiate the offense, getting rebounds, but also play the center position defensively. You heard me, Perk. I love you, man. Still to come on NBA Today, will DeAndre Ayton be all in for the Suns after a season full of drama, the offseason? And we will recap how it got to that point. Plus, which teams in the East are on the outside looking in? Our panel takes a look at who could surprise some people this season. And will LeBron and Anthony Davis get the Lakers really back on track, back to the playoffs, back to the glory, as we said earlier? Stick around. NBA Today, we'll be back right after this.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're watching NBA Today.
9/10 remaining. Crowder will inbound. Crowder looking, throws it alley. Oh! Hey, he puts it down!
I'm told that the DeAndre Ayton extension talks have ended.
Wow.
Without a deal.
Everyone got a piece of the pie except for him.
DA only played 17 minutes tonight, yep. And so he didn't play most of the fourth quarter. Is there any reason why? Is he hurt? Or
it's internal.
We have breaking news. DeAndre Ayton has agreed to a four-year, $133 million maximum offer.
They matched it within minutes.
That saved the Suns 1 year and $40 million.
It was bittersweet for Ayton because it makes you feel like, all right, I got my deal, but why didn't they give me the big deal?
It can either push you or it can break you. And so this is going to be an interesting year for him.
You can say that again. This year is off to an interesting start for DeAndre Ayton and the Suns. The big man says he has not spoken to Coach Monty Williams since his Game 7 benching versus the Mavs in the second round of last season's playoffs. Ayton's name was floated in sign-and-trade talks all summer, but ultimately he signed a four-year, $133 million offer, and they both spoke to the media yesterday.
I haven't spoke to Monty. No, I haven't spoke to him at all. Ever since the game.
If you could talk to Monty, what would you want to tell him?
I can show him better than I can tell him. Nobody really cares about the uncomfortable nature about it. You know, it's how you perform and what you're going to bring to the table. What's set is already set, so I'm here, man. And the only thing I can possibly do is, you know, try my best to help these guys win.
I haven't talked to a bunch of our guys. As I said earlier this summer, like they needed a break from me, the gym. Unless you were in the gym like every day, I've had interactions with everybody, but talking to guys about deep stuff, there's a number of guys I haven't talked to.
By all accounts, Monty is one of the best coaches in the league, a coach of the year, and he's someone that has definitely been referred to as a player's coach, so it's definitely surprising to see that this has gotten to this point. I'd like to welcome in Anscape's Mark Spears. Mark, starting with you, how did we get here?
Whew, where do I start? Let's start with the contract, right? I mean, I think DeAndre Ayton felt like, do you really want me? You know, the Suns did not sign him to the five-year deal. That cost him 1 year and $40 million. And so that certainly is something that caused the ire of him. I was told that it was Robert Sarver who didn't want to give him that fifth year, who wanted to save the money. And so there's that part. And then obviously the Game 7, the way the Suns season ended, there was a lot of embarrassment on his side. There was a, you know, verbal dealing with him and Monty that they haven't got on the same page with. But after that Game 7, DeAndre Ayton went to Santa Barbara to P3. He worked out for a month, and he decided to just get real, real serious about the game of basketball on a different level. He's in great shape, and he wants people to think about that series he had against the Pelicans, how he's shown that he could be a featured player with the Suns. And so when he said about Monty, hey, like, I'm going to show him, I think he wants to show that he's an all-star, that he could be the number two at times when needed, the number one option offensively, and smiley, jokey DA, I think he's gone. This is a business to him now. And I think he's coming in with a really serious mentality to be a force with the Suns.
You know, Mark, you said something really important there, which is who DeAndre Ayton in his mind attributes the idea that he didn't get that max contract to. Does he blame Robert Sarver? Does he blame that front office? Does he blame Monty Williams? And my understanding from talking to people close to DeAndre is that he thinks this was Robert Sarver's decision as well. And Robert Sarver's not going to be the owner anymore. So there is some healing that can happen there. But I know, as you said, Mark, there were some hurt feelings over that contract and how that played out. If they were going to instantly match an offer sheet that he signed, why not just give him the max contract? Why not? I mean, yes, it saved him a year and $40 million, but as somebody close to DeAndre told me, you know, there's a karma to this. If you why do that to your player, your number one overall pick, this guy that you drafted and developed, and then you put him through that, and the message he's hearing is, we don't really believe in you. Now, if he blames Robert Sarver for that and Sarver is not there anymore, then I think there's an opportunity for healing. But if he has some lingering resentment towards the front office or Monty Williams, then those are things he'll have to heal.
And Ramona, these are the conversations you don't want outward, you know, coming out of your organization when it comes to DeAndre Ayton saying you're not paying a guy who had a stellar season. Yep. Kirk, what are your thoughts on this situation?
Well, I mean, look, I'm glad DeAndre Ayton is approaching this as a business, because that's exactly what it is. And when you're talking about a contract or a big, large amount of money for as a contract extension, you're going to go through that, okay? But here's the problem that I have, and it's not with DeAndre Ayton. It's with Monty Williams. And I love Monty Williams. Monty Williams is a big brother in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Monty Williams is a mentor in the NBA, along with being the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. We always praise him about his leadership, and rightfully so. DeAndre Ayton was the number one pick. DeAndre Ayton is 24 years of age. He hasn't even scratched the surface of his prime. Yes, he may need a little guidance, but the one thing that we can't knock about DeAndre Ayton is his productivity throughout the course of his career. He's gotten better every single year. And to ask a guy, right, I know you want more, and I know people preach lose yourself in the team and you want to win a championship. But when you have a young guy that has the talent of a DeAndre Ayton, you got to expect that he's going to want more individually, and he should. He was the number one pick. Yes, he's going to want to make all-star games like Devin Booker. Yes, he's going to want to make all NBA teams. Hell, one year he might want to win the MVP, and that's okay. But this falls on the shoulders of Monty Williams, because for the simple fact, I need him to be more of a mentor. I need him to put his pride aside. And I listened to Monty say on the interview, hell, I haven't talked to a lot of our players. Well, DeAndre Ayton is not a lot of your players. He's your number one pick 4 or 5 years ago. You have to reach out to him. Embrace the young fella, put him under your wing, and show him some guidance, and then y'all build from there. Because this guy's future is really, really bright. And when I say bright, I mean 20 and 10 a night. He's already proven that he's a walking double-double and shooting a high percentage from the field. This is on Monty to get this right.
And we all know Perk loves a big man balling, and that's exactly what he was doing last season. Yep. But you're right. You know, when it comes to Monty Williams, he shows leadership. I think DA showed a lot of professionalism last year. So they just got to meet in the middle, because they have championship aspirations. Now, he's not the only some player that was a little feeling some type of way. If you've got a social media, you've seen in a social media. Yeah, if you got Twitter, you got Instagram, you got Snapchat. You've seen that Suns forward Jay Crowder be outward and expressive about wanting out of Phoenix. The Suns have let him know that they're working on finding a trade for him. But in the meantime, they have granted him to be excused from training camp. Now, he averaged 9.4 or so points per game and 5 boards. And I think a lot of people hear that and they're like, oh, that's not doing enough to be productive. He's one of those, I got that dog in me type of players. Yeah. So how about this? Starting with you, Ramona, what do you think about this situation?
Well, this has been ongoing for a number of months. It just became public now because Jay Crowder didn't want to report to camp. But he had requested a trade, and they had been trying to find a trade for him for months. They just couldn't find one that was to their liking. And I know they were close on a couple of things, but they didn't come together. I thought it was interesting that he went public with this, and that this has now become, when you go on social media and you say how you're feeling, you can't really take it back. There's no delete function on Twitter, right? And so
you still got the receipt.
if you go and say this now, I actually think if the end goal is to get traded, this didn't help, right? It would have been easier for them to find a trade for him if he didn't make this public. But here we are.
Perk, as a former player in the NBA, how do you see Jay Crowder handling this difficult position he's in?
Well, it's hard. It's hard. But this is part of it. Look, I played 14 years in the NBA, and I was a role player all 14 mm-hmm. years, and that's okay. And this is what's going to happen when you are a role player. Yeah. When you're not that dude, your spot is you're replaceable at any given time, especially when you have an up-and-coming young stud like Cam Johnson. Here's the thing with Jay Crowder. He has to realize this, okay? At the end of the day, he's not Chris Paul. He's not Devin Booker. And then Jay Crowder is wiser than this. This is my guy, too. It's not who start the game. It's not about your starting minutes. It's about who finished the game. So he's in a perfect situation. He's on a team that's going to be contending for a title. I think he has to take a step back. We all, as role players, have been through it where you have to put your pride aside and say, hey, I have to take a lesser role. This is what it is, and he has to accept that.
Mark, your thoughts?
Well, Perk was right on it, man. Yep. And like, look, shout out to Jay Crowder's social media team. Wow, that's impressive what they did. And but the one of the words that he put on Instagram that Jay stood out to me was, one must seek work where he is wanted. And I think it's the being involved with trade rumors, Cam Johnson starting. And look, they're about to invest in Cam Johnson. They're about to give him money. This young kid is nice. He's a bucket, right? And so I get it. And that's part of the evolution of the NBA. You're going to have to change your role. And I don't know if being on the sideline helps anything. But, you know, Jay Crowder does have a long resume. We know what he brings to the table. The tough thing, though, is mm-hmm. when you start the season, these GMs know what their roster is. They've been working on this. And Perk knows this. They typically don't want to make changes until January. So it could be a little difficult for him to get the trade that he wants when, at this point, GMs are pretty happy with their roster and want to see what they put together play out.
Typically, when I see Mark Spears, it's in the Bay, and I feel like the best answer came from Draymond Green when he was talking to kids at basketball camp. He was like, usually on NBA teams, you got two players that can do whatever they want, and then everyone else is a role
That's
player.
Right.
Get in line.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those situations. Thank you so much, Mark. We'll see you soon. Now, coming up more on NBA Today, with 20 days until tip-off, our panel on what we can realistically expect from the Lakers this year, plus live reaction from New Orleans as Zion Williamson continues to ramp up for the regular season. How dangerous can the Pelicans be? And the champs have arrived in Japan ahead of their preseason games against the Wizards. Keep it locked. It's your girl. Grab a snack. Come on back. NBA Today will be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
I'm a competitor, so when I'm on the court, I'm not thinking about, let me lay this ball in. No, I'm thinking about putting that person through the rim.
Zion on the hammer, like a man amongst boys.
Oh, Zion!
Post the line, Zion!
Say it with your chest.
Putting a rim through the rim. Man, I miss seeing that version of Zion Williamson, but the wait is almost over. And for more on that, we are joined by Pelicans reporter Andrew Lopez. Now, Andrew, you were on the show yesterday and said that last night was going to be, speaking in the context of yesterday, the first time Zion would be able to put his full skills on display. Now, how did it go?
Well, unfortunately, the media wasn't there, but I think he did maybe put a couple of people through the rim last night. So we weren't there. We did talk to his coaches and teammates today, though, about how it went.
I got to be honest with you. Dude looks good, and it's going to take everybody time to adjust to him. It's going to take him time to adjust to everybody, but it's hard not to be impressed.
That's my first time actually seeing him, in uniform and playing, so it didn't look like he'd been out of the game, so I'll tell you that much.
Strong. Very, very strong. And also ready to play. I will say that. But, that's all I have to say.
He looked amazing. His strength, his speed. He dominated the scrimmage pretty much.
He didn't even realize it, but in the locker room, talking about it afterwards, I was like, did you know, you didn't even miss a shot? And, it was the first time. He didn't even realize it until I pointed out, but... No, he didn't miss a shot. He looks like the same wrecking ball we all know and love. So
the other thing, we didn't get to see it last night. The media will get their first chance to see Zion on Saturday at an open practice at the Smoothie King Center. But I did ask Trey Murphy, Pelicans forward, was there a moment last night when you kind of felt that, okay, he's back for real? And he said it was. He says during the scrimmage, Najee Marshall, Pelicans forward, had the unfortunate task of having to guard Zion last night. And Trey said he's trying to make a rotation. He gets just into the lane. And Zion knocked Najee so far back that he knocked Najee into Trey Murphy and knocked Trey out of the lane. He's like, he's pushing one dude and shoving another guy out of the lane. I think he's back, guys.
Great, deboed him. Now in commercial break, you said the vibes were vibing. Well, everything seems like they're going well in NOLA. Thank you so much, Andrew. And speaking of which, when Zion's been healthy, he's been one of the most efficient players in the game. In fact, back in 2021, he became the only player in NBA history to average 27 points per game on 60% from the field. Super impressive. So we are back here with Ramona and Perk. Okay, y'all, if everything goes right for Zion and he is healthy and available, Perk, where does he stand as a player in the league?
I mean, you're talking about a first-team all-NBA caliber player. We have to remember, before Zion went out because of injuries, this man was dominating. This young stud was box office. I expect him to be in the All-Star game this year. I expect him to make a lot of noise. I expect him to average around 24, 25 points, 12 rebounds a night this season. Look, he looks in phenomenal shape. He's been out for an entire season almost. He had his time to over the offseason to get his mind right. And guess what? He got his lettuce. Now that he's secured the bag, there's nothing left for him to do but go out there and hoop. And again, he got the pieces around him.
That puts a smile on your face, Ramona.
I mean, I think All-Star is where that's where you think about him this year. All-NBA, he definitely has that ability, but that's a crowded field there in the All-NBA team, especially that forward position right now. Maybe he can nudge Pascal Siakam out of that spot, but that's already a crowded field because there's only six forwards that can make it. The thing with Zion, though, is he just needs to stay healthy. Don't worry about what awards you get, what All-Star games you make, what if he gets in the dunk contest. He just needs to get out there because when you put those stats up there again, 60% from the field for this young man, and he is three assists a game, 27 points a game. I mean, if he's just out there, he is a difference maker, and especially when they used him in that sort of point forward role. He really distributes the ball well. He really sees the court exceptionally well. And I think if he can improve, just be out there and then stay on the court and then improve on the defensive end of the court, the Pelicans, the sky is the limit for them.
I agree, because look at that, 27 points per game, 60% from the field. This is a team that went to the play-in, to the playoffs, and then you think about Zion. If he's available, he should be in the conversation if they're a playoff team to hopefully, maybe in a year or two, but maybe this is a year that he becomes all NBA. That's a good goal for him instead of the highlights and all those dunks, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, if Zion is able to get to that level, what is the ceiling for the Pelicans this year, Perk?
You know what? I think the conference finals. We have to remember they were a game seven away from beating the Phoenix Suns, and they wasn't even healthy. Now this team has experience. We watched the emergence of Brandon Ingram. We watched what C.J. McCollum did for the team, and we watched Jose come in and do his thing, right? Picking up 94 feet. They have the pieces. They have perimeter defense. And look, let's not leave this out. When it comes down to Coach Willie Green, right, he's one of the best young coaches in the game right now. He has the respect of that locker room. They have Big Valachunas down there, a walking double-double that's banging down low. This team could sneak up and be in the conference finals this year, especially in the West.
Well, they really have to get into a place where they can get into the playoffs, where they don't have to play so hard just to get into the play-in like they did last year. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of run out of gas because of how hard they had to work just to get into the play-in. And that comes down to health. I mean, that's Zion's health. That's Brandon Ingram's health. That's, you know, getting C.J. McCollum, Larry Nance, those are huge pickups for them just in terms of the veteran quality that they need in that locker room. But it all comes down to health for them.
I feel like I'm officially banned from talking about the Pelicans because apparently it becomes coffee beans and eggs and carrots. So I'll just say that I'm very optimistic about the Pelicans this season and their leaders, with C.J. McCollum and Zion Williamson. Now, still to come on NBA Today, we are officially 20 days away from opening day. Our panel will take a deep dive into the Eastern Conference. That's next.
Sets it up. Here's Allen with a deep three. Yes! Allen Houston. Houston ducks under. Got it! And Obley on the finish. Flushes it with the left hand.
Welcome back to NBA Today. I'm your girl, Chinua Ogwumike, filling in for Malika Andrews, and we are just 20 days away from the start of the regular season. So what better time to take some stock on teams and see if they will improve on how they finished last season? This should be fun. Here's how the East unfolded last year. Top six teams made the playoffs automatically. 7 through 10 were in the play-in tournament, and the Knicks, Wizards, Pacers, Pistons, and Magic were in the bottom five. So I want to play a little game with Ramona and Perk using some insight from our front office insider, Bobby Marks, who is currently in Florida and in the path of Hurricane Ian. So we are wishing he and his family and all those impacted by the storm well. Absolutely. Bobby has a comprehensive article on ESPN.com on training camps that preview how teams will finish this season. So I want to use Bobby's predictions and ask both of you if his prediction is too high, too low, or just right.
Hold on.
This is the caveat, though. I'm putting 24 seconds on the shot clock. Can we do this? Are we good? Can we do this, guys?
I don't know. I talk a lot.
I mean, let's see. I think Park might hit it, but he always is preaching, so we'll be accepted. Let's start with the Heat here. Yeah,
the gospel will be said.
Amen, sir. Here's how Bobby outlined the Heat. He projected them at 46 wins and being a top six team in the East, possibly falling to the play-in range. There were some questions for them on Jimmy Butler's durability, playing the four, what Kyle Lowry can bring, and if no extension for Tyler Hero will be a distraction. So, Perk, starting with you first, is that too high, too low, or just right?
You know what I think is just right for the simple fact when you look at the Miami Heat, let me explain why. You can't count them out, but the East is so stacked that it's a lot of teams that are really better than them. I wouldn't say just right. I would say really that's kind of just high, to be honest with you. I don't think the Heat could compare to the top couple teams that I have picked above them. The Milwaukee Bucks, the Boston Celtics. I got the Philadelphia. Dang.
I know, right?
76ers.
Finish up. I'll give you a little overtime.
That was like 14 seconds. Go ahead. But I think that's too high for the Miami Heat. And I love them goons from Dade County and their exposure, but that's too high. The East
is
too low.
We know you do. Listen, even though they finished number one, Ramona.
Yeah, top six in the East last year, there were seven games that separated the top six in the East from one to six. So they're tightly bunched together. The Miami Heat, though, they're never the favorite, but they always seem to be there. They've been in the top six in the East three out of the past 10 years. Only missed the top six in the East three times in the past 10 years. They're always in it. And they may not, last year I think they finished first and we all before, like, how did the Heat finish first? We never were giving them enough credit, except for Perk. You always were a Heat guy, so we'll
see. I know the answer, right, and it's one word. Actually, two words. Heat culture.
Okay. Oh, I know. No.
Moving on to one of my favorite teams, the Toronto Raptors. Bobby Marks outlined them as a top six team in the East at 46 wins, saying that they have one of the best starting lineups in the league. You heard me. Best starting lineups in the league. And having the best front court in the NBA with Siakam, Anunoby, and Scottie Barnes. The backcourt is a concern as well, as those starters really played heavy minutes last season. So, Ramona, will they start, you know, when they start the season, will this be too high of a projection, too low, or is this just right?
Well, my question is that starting lineup, is this team that we see for the Raptors going to be the same team at the end of the season? As we know, when Kevin Durant requested a trade, the first team that everybody thought of that has the assets to pull off a big deal would be the Toronto Raptors. So if there is a star that moves in the middle of the year, Toronto has definitely shown an appetite for getting involved in those conversations and definitely has the pieces to get it done. That's another the team always there. Nick Nurse always has his guys in it, so I think that's just about right.
Big Perk, what did you think when Bobby Marks said that they have the best front court in the East, the Raptors?
I think Bobby was tripping, and here's why. Look, we have to realize what the Cleveland Cavaliers have over there with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. I don't know if it's a better defensive tandem. And Evan Mobley, with his versatility, I mean, when I got high big things for this kid, I expect big things out of him. No disrespect to Scottie Barnes. I actually picked him to win Rookie of the Year. But those two trees and monsters down there in Cleveland are a defensive problem for anybody.
Maybe we should have put like an asterisk best collective backcourt, because when you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, when you got Joel Embiid, and you got that Cleveland Cavalier front court, I feel like that competition is stacked. Okay, now these are some of Bobby's Eastern Conference projections. Now, the Atlanta Hawks, they have their own too. It was so cute. Check this out. DeJounte Murray, Trae Young, John Collins, and DeAndre Hunter all have goals of bringing championships to the ATL. Clint Capella, on the other hand, look what he did. He has his sights on first team all defense and the Eastern Conference Finals. Ugh, that's hilarious. Do you see that, Ramona?
Yeah.
You see how like everyone's like, championship, win championship, championship, win. And he's like, hold up, let me get these motivations. So based on this, Ramona, is this too high, too low, or just right for the Hawks?
Well, look, I mean, they were one of the most disappointing teams last year. So you could look at that and say, you can only go up from there. I mean, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago and then finished 10th last year. So they making that trade for DeJounte Murray, the expectations are definitely higher for them and they need to deliver.
Perk?
It's about business. It's just right. You know why? Clint Capella is about getting his money. He has contract incentives that if he reached the conference finals and the all-defensive team, he get a bigger bag. So it's just right. That's what I'm talking about, Clint. Think about the team goals and think about yourself at the same time.
You're right. We've been in the East, and we can't play this game without thinking about the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean,
city. Yes, we could.
I mean, we could, but, you know, that wouldn't be right for us, okay? Bobby outlined the Lakers projecting them to 43 wins and in that 7 through 10 play-in range. Bobby's concerns were buy-in from the veterans, which I think they sort of improved on. If AD can get back to an all-NBA level, and that's largely determined on health, and that it's a guard-heavy roster with 11 expiring deals. So, starting with you, Ramona, is that too high for wins, too low, or is it just right?
That's just right, and that is talking about a play-in team. Say that again, a play-in team, Los Angeles Lakers, with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Now, I personally think if they stay healthy, they can have a better year, but there are a lot of question marks on this team. Brian Windhorst has always talked about their shooting. They have a lot of veterans that are on one-year deals, not always great for team building when guys are thinking about where they're going to get their next contract. But Darvin Ham is emphasizing defense. That's a good place to start.
Where's the buzzer? That was pretty smooth, though. Perk, what do you think about L.A.?
Yeah. That's too low and it's disrespectful. The Lakers are going to be in the playoffs this year. And one of the main reasons I'm saying that is because of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis this season is going to remind the world of who the hell he is. And this is why I have him picked as my MVP front runner right now, MVP winner, early prediction. because I believe Anthony Davis is going to show why his name should be mentioned in the conversation with Giannis Antetokounmpo again.
Oh, I like that. I know that comparison got people going a couple years ago. I did that
a few years ago, Perk. Made him the MVP favorite. I'm on Old Takes Exposed now.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay, though. We're being optimistic. It's preseason. It's preseason, and that's not the only aspect of the Lakers that we will be watching. Yeah. Hulu's 10-part series, Legacy, the true story of the L.A. Lakers, is streaming now with new episodes released every Monday.
I hear there is some stuff coming up.
Oh, and you know that's true.
I have been told episode 10 has got some things in it.
Okay, I mean, that's the best promo you can get right there. Okay, let's support our network as well. Go Hulu. Coming up on NBA Today, Ramona, speaking of which, gives us an inside look on Robert Sarver's exit with the Suns and what's next for the organization. NBA Today rolls right along on. Welcome back to NBA Today. Our very own Ramona Shelburne and Baxter Holmes released an article on ESPN.com detailing the 7 days that led to Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver's stunning exit. And I'm joined now by the one and only Ramona Shelburne. And Ramona, after everything that has transpired over the last 10 months, what is the biggest reason that Sarver decided to sell?
Well, the first time when Adam Silver had the Donald Sterling situation, he was able to just say, you're banned for life. It was clear cut. And on this one, he needed help. He needed Chris Paul, LeBron James, and he also needed the sponsors of the Phoenix Suns and in and around the league to come out and say, we're not going to be associated with the Suns as long as Robert Sarver is with the team. He still owns the team. And Baxter Holmes and I have this report where there was about $30 million in sponsorship money that was still up for being renewed. And the Suns were trying to keep all those sponsors. One of the biggest things that happened behind the scenes was the CEO of PayPal, a man named Daniel Shulman, came out and issued a statement saying, "As we still support the NBA, the Suns, the community, but we are not going to renew our $3 million sponsorship if he is still associated with the team." That started the dominoes falling. And as somebody close to the situation told me, that the walls were closing in on him. It became financially harder to fight this for Robert Sarver than it would be to just sell the team. And that's why you saw in his statement, he said, I'm stepping aside essentially because this is what's best for the team and the organization. It became very expensive for him to try to keep fighting.
Yeah, and speaking of dominoes falling, this is something the NBA has sort of been dealing with. Mm-hmm. Robert Sarver joins Donald Sterling and Bruce Levinson of the Hawks as owners who have either sold or been forced to sell their teams following allegations of misconduct all in the last 8 years. So, Ramona, what is the league doing to prevent this type of misconduct moving forward?
You know, we talked a lot about the options the NBA had to remove Donald Sterling and or Robert Sarver. The owners could have voted. It would have taken 3/4 of the owners in order to vote him out. And why didn't they go that route, right? That was definitely an option, and whether they have a vote. There's some element of it that people don't want their votes recorded because it will leak, and then they'll have to answer for it one way or the other. The other side of that, though, is that the NBA Constitution has a clause, Article 13 in the Constitution, and there's about 10 reasons why they can justify voting an owner out. But this was written like 50 years ago, and it hasn't been updated. None of those clauses pertain to somebody making statements that reflect poorly on the league or reflect poorly on the franchise. And it may have been difficult for that to hold up in court had Robert Sarver challenged that kind of a vote. After Donald Sterling was banned for life and decided to sell the team, there was talk of changing those clauses, of updating those clauses in the Constitution to make it either more specific, where it would say if you say something, it's a sort of a moral turpitude clause. If you say something that reflects poorly on your company or organization, it's very standard in a lot of contracts, but that's not what's actually in the NBA Constitution. They should have changed it after Sterling. They sort of let that die on the vine. They lost interest in changing that part of the Constitution, mostly because he sold the team and made it easy for him. They should have realized it would come. I don't think anybody realized it was going to come back up 2 more times over the next 8 years.
Yeah, and I think the key that Ramona is saying is that putting that written provision in is going to help the league moving forward handle these situations. Thank you, Ramona. I know it's not easy work, but it's necessary work that you're doing. And there's no easy transition here because that's the most important aspects of how we grow the game and move the game forward. But I have to tell you that next Thursday, we will have our first NBA preseason games on ESPN and the app. The Heat are in Brooklyn, where Malika is right now, to take on the Nets at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Then the Timberwolves square off against the Lakers in Las Vegas, the home of the Aces that just won a championship. Hey. That's like the sports universe right now. It's super excited. The countdown really gets our coverage started at 7 Eastern. Now, still to come on NBA Today, the champs have arrived in Japan. We check in ahead of their first preseason game on Friday. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds.
I always had the duty of making tamales on Christmas. That was always my job, to make sure, you know, the food was always where, and I cannot eat fake Mexican food. I can't do it just because I'm so used to the real stuff, you know, authentic. I just cannot eat fake Mexican food. We always just, you know, celebrated the real Mexican Independence Day in September. Different stuff like that. I grew up watching Selena. I thought it was Selena. I couldn't speak Spanish, but I could sing Spanish. And so just little things like that to just starting to carry over.
We're going to Tokyo, baby. Get this season all started right. Road trip.
Last time I was here, you know, winning the gold medal. But, you know, we're here to kick off the next tour.
Man's right here. You see him? Make sure you get him. Yeah.
As you just saw, the reigning champs landed in Japan yesterday, because I know our time zones are on. I think it was like today for us, however that works, ahead of their two preseason games against the Wizards this weekend. It's actually the first NBA games overseas since the pandemic started in February of 2020, so I'm excited. But that aside, Ramona, what are you most looking forward to from the Warriors this season?
Well, last year we saw them and they were hungry because they had not been there for a while. And I was joking with Steve Kerr the other day saying, hey, you know, you've had some short offs. A short offseason this year, but you had some long off seasons before that. Let's see how the champs do coming back when they have a short offseason now, because they play deep into June.
Perk, what about you?
Well, I mean, I would never count them out and never go against Steph Curry ever again in my life. Let me say that first. But the good thing about them going to Japan is that they're able to get away from everything and everyone and just have each other to regroup, refocus, lock in, to build that camaraderie all over again, get that chemistry down so that they could come back this season to defend their title.
Yeah, I definitely think the Dubs are in the stop and smell the roses aspects of their career. So good luck to them. Have fun in Japan. And Malika will check in with her tomorrow. This is NBA Today, and it's been real.